We're going to talk this morning about virtue-based values, the last Sunday of the year, December 30th. And it's based on Micah 6:8, and I probably will have Marty put that song into our repertoire through the year because I have an idea that continually working at the very core of our value system and the virtues within us is a component of what God wants us to do. Some of you are familiar with this life cycle of a church. The background that you're looking at, the weed, is from a message that Bishop Ramsey brought us. And he actually had a curve where the life of a church is much like the life of a human, from birth on one side to death on the other. And the components in the middle, a church that is visioning where we're going, is involved in relationship, who's going with us, is involved in ministry on a regular basis, how do we get there, and then the component of structure. If the vision and relationship and ministry are the important things, the church is on an upward growth. But as it goes over the other side, they change. So the question that I have for us is, where are we as a church in this cycle? If you had to plot our church on this curve of growth, would you plot us on the youthful side of it, on the upward slide, A, or would you plot us on the older side, the downward slide? Where would you plot our church? Yeah, I looked at it, and honestly, we're probably over in the SR, and if I would have made the R a little bit, Our church is probably significantly held together by structure and a small R relationship. As we were talking about Clarence having the love side of the family, and I was building a directory this week, and there's a lot of Hubbards in there. There's relationship involved in the church, but it's still fundamentally, numerically, relationship of family. Not necessarily a relationship with the outside. So I see us somewhere on that side over there, and what I believe Bishop and Pat Jones and I wanted to accomplish is to vision our church. And the barriers that Bishop brought to us is there is a barrier of vision. So I'm going to start there, and I'm going to work on leadership, and I'm designing some things to build the teams within the church. And I'm actually taking this list and working from the message that Bishop brought us, trying to do what the boss asked us to do. And in working at that vision, we're reading a book that is How to Change Your Church for Good, The Art of Sacred Cow Tipping. And if the text part of the message hadn't been so long, I was going to put a clip in there from the Cars movie where Lightning McQueen and Mater go out and tip cows, and then the combine chases them out of the field. But that type of contemporary stuff is what Brad's talking about. And Brad was invited to our national conference, and he had more podium time than anybody else did in the national conference, helping us restructure our churches for good. I have two of these books left. I'd like them to go away, and I would like you to give Lori or I $12 for them. But if you don't want to give us the $12, if you'll just take it and read it, please do. The last Sunday in January, I actually am going to take the Sunday and talk about changing our church for good, the concepts of this book. But one of the things that I've already read most of it, discovered in changing the church for good, is every church is driven by values, is what Brad says. Values are what drive your church. Now here is another quote. If a church is going to transition, the appropriate values need to be spelled out and poured into the church. So we're looking at the values of our church. What is it that we would have for values? Well, here are some values that I've been using for years for effective parenthood. I actually have a large text form of this virtue-based core value model because the Victorious Christian Living Ministry is restructuring all that we do based on this system. And I thought, well, Lord, if you're leading me through that there, maybe that's something I should lead the church through as well. But these are values that I've taught people for years when they're parenting their children. If you aim at these five things, when your kids become adults, they'll have a better life. Wholesome personal drive and competence, and I often taught that, is where you love to work and you enjoy working, but you have a wholesome drive through life. You have a right response to authority because you're always under somebody's authority, and correct submissive responses to them are important. So teach your kids how to do that. Interpersonal security, that you would be comfortable in your own skin. There aren't very many people I know who are comfortable with who they are, thankful for where they are. But if you could teach your kids to do that, they'd be a lot better off if they just went into adulthood comfortable rather than, like some of us, work all the way through life to get there. Mature love for God and others. I even have that on the front of our bulletin. A commitment to truth regardless of the cost. It's probably not surprising to you that I have a commitment to truth. This is the new Bible I'm going to read through this next year. It's an application study Bible. I'm going to do the NIV again, but this one's a lot thicker. It has a lot of other stuff in it. And I'm going to read it in a chronological order. I've never read through the Bible in a year chronologically. This happens first, this happens second, this happens third. If you would like to do that with me, you don't have to read the same Bible I am, but I have these chronological patterns. Why? Because I'm committed to understanding the truth of God. And I want you to follow me in that commitment to truth, to every day read and study the Bible. Last year I had you read through the Bible with me in a Gideon's format. And there's one more book in the Old Testament and one more chapter in the New Testament to read, and we'll have got it all done. You know, and that's a good thing to come to the end of the year and finish well. You know, it's a good thing to start the year well with New Year's resolutions, isn't it? And I've designed a system here to where if you kind of get off the wagon for a little bit, you can just say, oh, I'm going to get back into that. Find the day of the month that you're on and just start right back up with me. But commitment to truth at any cost. That's one of the things I've taught people for years. Now, maybe some of those will end up being the core values of our church. I don't know. So, in the Changing the Church for Good, one of the values in Brad's church was a value of evangelism. And when the church first started, they had a high priority on evangelism. Through the years, they kind of lost that value, and Brad brought it back to them. But another value that they had was excellence honors God and inspires people. And that's a value in their church. When Julie and I were in Myrtle Beach, the church we worked with down there, Myrtle Beach Community Church, that was one of their five values. Excellence honors God. And everything they did was done excellently. It wasn't just done mediocre, haphazard. It was done with excellence. And Brad says when they have a Christmas program at their church, they will fill the auditorium 10 times and 20,000 people will come to their Christmas pageant because they do it with excellence. And people who have Broadway tickets or have tickets to go to their Christmas cantata will forsake the Broadway tickets to go to the Christmas cantata because it is so much of a better production. Excellence is something that we could take on as a value if we wanted to. Now, here's my questions. What are the core values of our church? When you look at your bulletin, I want you to write down core values. What are the core values of our church? This little church. What, in the core of who we are, what do we value the most? Second question. Are we being driven by the right values? If values drive our church, are we being driven as a church by the right values? And I want to talk to you about that. I'm going to give you some time to think about it, but next year we'll conclude this message. In thinking about the core values, I went to the website. These are the core values of the United Brethren in Christ International. We adhere to the Confession of Faith. That's one of our core values. We respect unity amidst diversity. We seek the lost. We demonstrate social concern. We preserve our Christian witness. We protect the family. We esteem each other, and we link with the larger church. There are 8 core values of our denomination. Now, I don't know if their core values will end up being our core values. I will probably not ever lead you into having a list of 8 core values, because by Yemeni, you just won't remember them. 3 to 5 will probably be the pattern that I lead you in. These 3 or 5 things are what we adhere to as the core essence of what we value as our church. So, what are the core values of our church? If you had to sit down right now and say, what are the 3 or 5 most valuable things to our church? Emailing back and forth with Pat Jones, I said, Pat, I want you to come help me because I'm so close to this, I can't see the truth. I'm so close to the forest, I can't see the trees. See, it's easy to look across the backyard over here at the other neighbor church and realize that the Methodist church over here, one of their core values is social. Their church is open all the time. I very seldom go over there that I don't open the door and it's unlocked. Every morning they have coffee on. Every Wednesday they have a potluck. They are a social center for the community. That's one of the core values of their church, is social life. Isn't it? Is it easy to see that for them? And I could take churches all around the community and look at them, and observing their life pattern, I could tell you what I believe to be their core values are. Right? But I struggle to define what our core values are separate from my values. But it's important we understand, at an essence, what are the most important things to us as a church? And are we being driven by the right values? And here's a real personal question. Why do I have more questions than I have answers? Because I have more questions right now than I have answers. I'm confident that God will give me the answers to the questions, just the same way when I was driving to the hospital last night and I got to Kroger's, just all of a sudden I realized we're doing surgery tonight. We're going to flay this thing open and do this thing, aren't we? The doctor and the family were trying to decide what they were going to do, but I was completely convinced by the Spirit of God speaking within me that we're doing surgery tonight. I'm confident that He will do the same thing with our core values, but I think He wants all of us to get that together rather than just one of us get it and try to tell everybody else. Does that make sense? He wants us to do this together. Here's our key scripture, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We just sang this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. God has made it very simple. And what the Lord requires of you, and here's what it is, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These 3 things are the virtues at the center of what I would like to build all of our values upon. That your life and my life would be a just life in relationship with each other and others. That we would love mercy, we would be a merciful people, and our walk through the day would be a humble walk. Now, when we were reading through the Bible, Friday I read this passage in Zechariah. The message is all done Thursday. Friday I read this and stick this scripture in. Why? Because the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. This is not the same time as the other passage. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy. And compassion to one another. Do those sound like the same 3 things? God repetitively says these 3 virtues are what I want deep inside. And in your hearts, don't think evil of each other. So, the virtue-based core value model goes like this. This sentence I did not text. When you read it, you'll realize Wilmer never wrote this. For an organization, the importance of values and ethics and an effective construct or system that captures all the key ingredients of the organizational value system cannot be overemphasized. That's a sentence, isn't it? That guy can craft. But what he's saying is, an organization needs to know the system and the values and the what we value can never be overestimated. And what happens in churches is we lose sight of these values. Now, well-defined values are vital to a healthy organization. They establish the plumb line against which organization measures its behavior and the behavior towards which it strives. These values become what we measure everything against. Whatever we decide our core values are, every time we look at starting something new or stopping something old, we look at our core values and do these new things fit into our core value system. Its desired behavior, its context determines its self-vision, what kind of an organization it wants to be. Now, this constructor model is tripartite. It's based on a core set of three virtues. They are core values or virtues that, in the sense, all seem to grow from them and depend on them. The three cardinal points, the core virtues of the model, are to be held firmly in marriage or in union with each other. Furthermore, they need each other to work. They are interdependent. In fact, they are a system, not a list. So as we develop these virtues and values in our church, it won't be a list of things that we do. It'll be a system under which we function, which is different than a list. Okay? Now here they are. Here's the logic. We need to revision. We need to come up with the vision of our church. Vision is based on values. And values are based on virtues. So rather than looking at the big picture, which sometimes scientists do, they look at the big picture, we're looking to the small picture. We're going to the structural DNA molecular level. And we'll start from the bottom and build up. Because if we can agree on these virtues, if we can agree on our values, then we can develop a vision. Anytime you build something, you start at the foundation. So we're going to start at the bottom. Here's the virtues. A, justice or integrity. That's what we took from that scripture. Justice or integrity. And in a broad sense, it means you do what's right. You do the right thing. As a church and as an individual, you do the right thing. That's integrity or that's justice. B, loyal love and caring loyalty. Now, the Hebrew word hesed, not mercy or kindness, as it's usually translated. The word that I took from Zechariah, the way they translated it there, is closer to the real Hebrew. Rather than loving mercy, it would be loving kindness or caring loyalty would be a virtue. And lastly, humility, the amazing key for unlocking growth, improvement, synergy, and others in our organization would be humility. So we would take these three things as our core virtues and from them build our values. Now, the justice and integrity. In surveys, repeatedly, virtue ranks highest among the traits desired in the manager or leader. At the level of government, it manifests itself as justice, doing the right thing, or integrity at the individual level. How many of you would like to work for a boss that was someone who had integrity? You work to work in a corporation where they say this is what they're going to do, this is what they do, and they value that highly. I think that's one of the key ingredients of our church, the loyal love and caring loyalty. The ancient Hebrew had a word, hesed, that represents the concept of committed love or loving loyalty, devotion or commitment. I was trying to figure out how to express that. And when I was first interested in Julie, we were in high school, and there was a group of musicians called Chicago. And when we were young high school kids, they had a song that was called Cherished. Cherished is the word I used to describe to, right? And we were at a Christmas function, and for a while we were involved in school together, and we were talking about schooly things. So I got her away from everybody else at the party to try to get her to explain to me what cherished meant, right? Because I had these emotions towards her, but I didn't know how to define them. And I thought, if I can get her to talk to me about cherished, maybe You understand how the logic of that works? But cherished is a word that you could use to describe loving loyalty. You cherish this individual. You cherish each other in relationship. This is the value here that we're talking about. It's an extremely important word in the Old Testament. God uses it repeatedly regarding his relationship with Israel. Translated usually as loving kindness, even that is inadequate in the richness of its concept. A single word would be very difficult, but very useful. In the English, we too have a similar concept, but no single word. Maybe devotion might come close. The idea is associated with a strong friendship, or for example, in a marriage. Nevertheless, the core virtue has its bonds with human beings. It's an important ingredient to trust. So this second virtue would be one of cherishing each other, devoted to each other, devoted to God, cherishing this relationship with God, committed to this relationship, much like in a marriage. Now, humility. Fundamentally, humility is an attitude, not an itinerary virtue as the other two. Bible tells us to clothe yourself with humility in 1 Peter 5. It's the only such virtue mentioned in this manner. To humble ourselves, like in verse 6, is an act of the will. Humility coupled with courage is an absolutely essential enabler for the other two virtues. It activates or enables the other primary and secondary virtues. God promises grace to the humble believer. It's a key to spiritual growth. I've known for a long time that learning from Jesus, the only two things he asked me to learn from him were to be gentle and to be humble, or to be meek and humble. Those were the only two things he tells us in the whole New Testament to learn from his life. Humility is an important component, and it's something you decide to do with your will. You clothe yourself in this humility. And we, in designing our values and building a church, would have this as one of our three. Now here you see the tripartite. I put them around a triangle. And I think God likes a cord of three. I think he likes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think he likes body, soul, and spirit. I think he likes justice, meekness, and mercy, and humility together. So we would take these three and use them as our core virtues. Then you'd add courage to that. This is a drive behind your behaviors. Note that courage, faith, fullness, and obedience have closely related roles. Our courage is derived from our faith. So, courage is not just knowledge. Knowledge isn't enough. Courage is to do what counts whenever it is doing what's right. That's integrity. Admitting when you're wrong. That's humility. Or caring when ignoring would be easier. That's the caring loyalty. And having the courage to do that. So we put courage on the inside of those things. Now, can we agree on this as I conclude? Can you agree with me that we need a vision for our church? One of the values that I've observed in our church is the value of survival. When I first became integrated with the church, a lot of what we did was purely meant on trying to survive. How many of you can see that as a value? We just want to keep the doors open. If we can just stay, right? That's a value. I'm not sure that that's a valid value to drive your church. I mean, when you get to the bottom level, when you get on that life cycle, right? Survival is something we struggle for, right? When you're on that one side of it, a lot of people struggle just to survive. But I don't think we have to. I think we could revision our church in such a way that it would grow. Now, can you agree with me, like Brad is saying in his book, how many of you have got to the section of book yet where he's talking about the values? Julian, four, five of us. I think he's right. I think he's right in that the values that a church does. And as I started looking at many very good successful as far as reaching the people for loss, discipling people in growth-based churches have core values that they can show you. And when you come to the church, you can see the essence of the values of what this church is looking at. They were, when you got a visitor's packet at Myrtle Beach Community Church, right on there were the core values of the church and the mission statement of the church. Now, it wasn't on the front page. It was actually on the back of a trifolder. But you could, in evaluating whether you wanted to be involved with this organization, you could see what they valued most. And I think that's important for us to be able to do. And I think it's important for us to be able to communicate and understand to each other, and it would bring us all to a level playing field to work together as a team. Now, if the values are based on virtues, can we agree on these three virtues? Justice, a walk justly with God, a walk humbly with God, and I walk mercifully with you. I put them in the wrong order, didn't I? Justice, mercy, humility. But all three of those virtues would be what we built our individual lives on, our soul lives, our spiritual lives in relationship to God, because this is what God is asking or requiring for you and I. When we finished reading the Old Testament, countless times God said, all I want you Jewish people to do is have the same set of scales that you use with the Gentiles as you use with the Jews. Don't have different weights for one and another. Don't treat this person different than you do that person. Right? It's important to him. He wants us to be involved mercifully with the widows, the orphans, and the other ones around us in our community and culture. And he wants our lives to be humble. That when we make mistakes, we can fess up to it. We can deal with it. I think people will be involved in that. So, can we agree our values are important? Can you agree with me on that one? Now, I'm going to ask you to try to figure out what our church really values. And I'll give you copies of the stuff that's up here if you want to read it. But I'd really like you to think, what does our church value? Is it like our international, that we value seeking the lost? Do we? Do we value discipleship? Becoming a fully integrated adult spiritual individual. Do we value that? Do we value the family? What is it that we as a church value? I don't think we can compete with the social life that the other church has. We should just let them keep that value and let's go over and make the mess at their potluck. Right? I don't think we should try to compete with them to be the social church. But what is it we value? And let's lean on that. And then I want you to help me define our values. I actually have a message that's scheduled for... March to actually have a public discussion about it. So I'm not asking you to do it overnight. I'm asking you to finish reading the book by the end of January. I'm asking you to compile and talk. And so when we come together a couple months from now, we could actually say, this is what we value. So when Pat Jones gets out here this spring, we can sit down with him and, Pat, this is what our church sees as our values. Will you help us vision from that to where we need to get? Right? But I want to have some building blocks together and start working on that. One of the local pastors wanted to raise money, so for the first 3 months of the year, every Sunday he talked about giving until he got enough money to build a new church. I don't want to spend every Sunday talking about the business of what we're building. Most of the Sundays, I want to talk about the biblical truths and how those people in that context learn to depend on God and relate to Him. But part of the time, one Sunday out of every month, I'm going to talk about businessy issues like this. As we begin to develop together what these are, then we can develop a vision. Okay? Does this sound like a plan? It's not anything that NASCAR is going to ever open Daytona with. It's not going to go that fast. But I want all of us to get on board and go together. Okay?